Okay, so today's daf is Shabbos, daf Ayin Tes. We reached the two dots on Ayin Tes, Amud Aleph, about 10 lines down at the top of the page. We're up to Ur Kedei Lasseis, the Mishnah said Kameah. The shear that one's chayev obligated for carrying Ur outside on Shabbos is the shear that one can make a Kameah. Says the Gemara, Boy Minei Rabbi Rav Nachman, Hamaitzi Ur Bekama. How much does one have to carry out of hide to be chayav? Now, obviously, we just quoted the words the Mishnah said explicitly. The shear of carrying hide is enough to make a kameah. So what on earth is Rava asking Rav Nachman? Again, we are Ayin Tesam and Aleph. We're 10 lines down from the top of the page. We're at the two dots. So Rav asks Rav Nachman exactly word for the Mishnah, what the Mishnah says, which is the shear of hide. What's considered chash enough that one's chayav carrying Shabbos? Rashi right away jumps in and says, Enachanami Avada, it's the Mishnah. Rava knows this. Rav is just trying to set up a few more questions. We're going to have a few subsequent questions with regards to hide right after this. So he sets it up with this first question, even though the answer is simple. Umbelai Rachman says back, like our Mishnah, Ur Kedei Lasseis Kameah, Ur, the shear of hide that's considered chashuv enough that one's chayav for carrying on Shabbos is enough to make a Kameah. Enough to make a Kameah, we said, it's like you used to write down little psukim or little different special things that would be a skula for refuah. So, or to protect from illness, so that's considered enough hide. That's considered chashev, and when one carries that, they're chayev and Shabbos. Again, the focus of today's daf is going to be all hide. By the way, the whole daf is going to be about hide, about cloth and parchment, mezuzah, amidbeis, and tefillin. We'll see. But okay, but the point is, the main criteria for the one's chayev for carrying Shabbos is something which is large enough to be a shear. That's chashev. He's only chayev for carrying Shabbos if it's chashev. What's the shear kameah? Next case, v'hame abde bekama. Now we go to, we're not talking about carrying anymore. A person who's actually ma'abed, he's tanning the hide. What's the shear of hide that he has to tan to be chayef for the malacha of ma'abed, of tanning hide on Shabbos? Amar lay, so I'm not going to say back to Rava. Leishna, same shear, no difference. What's the shear? Enough to make a kameah. La'abde bekama. Now we get to a third question. La'abde bekama. What if, back to carrying, he's carrying out that which wasn't even tanned yet in order to be tanned. So it's not tanned yet. So the assumption, the question Rabbi was asking was, maybe that should need a larger shear. Meaning a finished product is more chashuv than a product that's raw. So maybe the untanned hide requires bigger than a kameah. Amar lei loishna, Rav Nachman said back, vayter, no difference. It makes no difference, finished product or not. Either way, it's the same shear. It's all the shear of what? The shear is enough to make a kameah. Minah temra, Rav asked Rav Nachman, where do you know to say that there's no distinction between whether or not it is processed or not? Kitatan, Rav Nachman says, because we have a Mishnah later on. We have a Mishnah on Daf Kufhei. The Mishnah Daf Kufhei says, Hamalabin, one who's whitening wool, Vamanapis, one who's combing it out to get rid of any knots, any tangles. Hatzavea, one who dyes it, Vatava, one who spins the wool into threads. What's the shear? Shear Kamal Reichav Asit Kufel. The shear is double the Reichav Asit. What's Reichav Asit? Take your index finger and your middle finger and separate them. Actually, says, separate the etzpa and the middle finger. And the space in between those two fingers is called Mali Reichav Asit. That distance is Mali Reichav Asit. Let's call it around 2.5 inches. Average person, maybe 3 inches, 2.5 inches. So it's double that, which again, I once heard, I remember in the back of my mind, maybe it'll come up later in this Masechta. It seems too familiar to me, but I'm forgetting where it was, that the actual shear, double the index and middle finger, the space in between them, is actually equivalent to the space between the thumb and the index finger. If you spread your thumb, you make like an L shape between the thumb and the index finger. You take the distance, you measure distance from the thumb to the spread out to the index finger, it's actually exactly double the index finger to the etzpa, to the middle, to the middle finger to the etzpa, as I recall. Okay, by the way, the shear is double that space. That is the enough of spinning wool for a person to be chayef. Okay. V'ayuk shechutim, and one who sews, he weaves two threads. Again, shear kamalei reichav hasit. The measurement is the kamalei reichav hasit. Again, the measurement is the when he's sewing the fabric, it needs to be this thread, he has to weaves two threads. The length of the sit, he's going to be chayev. Alma, what do you see? Keeping the tavia kai, since the raw wool is being spun into thread, shiri ketavai. The raw wool that's being spun into thread has the same shear. Remember, forget about the last line about the irig. The raw wool, one is whitening it, and the one is disentangling it. If he disentangles the same shear as what he's spinning, he's going to be chayev. But when he spins, he's spinning Malay Reichav Sit, he's spinning two sitful. Echara, this is a stage later, it's already whitened, it's already disentangled, and still the shear is still the same as what he's whitening, what he's disentangling. Echara, you see that even though it's further along the process, the shear doesn't change. We have a raya that further or later in the process retains the same shear. Alma, kibin l'tavikai, since it's ultimately destined for spinning, shirikatav, hachanami, kibin l'abdikai, shirikam obad. So too over here, since it's destined to be tanned. This hide, this hide, this animal skin is going to be tanned for in this case, but saying it potentially used for a kameya. So even though it's not tanned yet, it has the same shear as tanned hide. And what's that shear? Enough to make a kameya. Okay. Shleil Abdei Rabbi asks a fourth question, and then the Gemara is going to ask a few questions on Rav Nachman. Rabbi asks the fourth question, Shleil Abdei Bekama, and if what about if one is taking out hide, not to even tan it? So far we've discussed, one was taking out hide, he's carrying hide, that's already ma'ubad. What's the shear, we said? Enough to make a kameya. We said, how much is the shear if one is being ma'abed, actually doing tanning on Shabbos? Shear is the same shear, kameya. What if one takes that hide that's not yet tanned, but he's planning to tan it? What's the shear? Enough to make a kameya. Same shear still. And now he has a fourth question. What if a person is taking out hide stam? He does not have any intent to specifically tan the hide at all. But he's carrying raw hide. What's the halacha? What's the shear to make him chayev? Again, Amar Leilei Shna. Again, says Rav Nachman, to Rava, there's no difference. The shear is vaita going to be what's called chashev by hide. Enough to make the amulet, that's chashev. Enough to make the kameya, and that's it. Period. Okay. Fact the Amar now. Rav is bothered by Rav Nachman's responses, not even so much on this last point that Rav Nachman's saying that it doesn't make a difference if you're planning to tan or not. Rav is bothered even by the step before that. You're telling me processed and pre-processed have the same din, but Rav is going to bring three cases, and one of them we already had yesterday, the case of the tit, the clay. Rav is going to bring three cases where pre-processed requires a bigger share, and once it's already processed, it requires a smaller share. Remember, we just had last night with the Matzah Shabbos, with the clay, we had enough water. A person brings water that's dirty. If he carries water that's dirty, it's going to be used to make clay. It has to be a revius to make a more substantial amount of clay. But clay itself, a person's chayif even carrying a drop that could cover a little hole. We see unprocessed requires a bigger share than processed. So Rav is going to ask that question and two other cases, one from reed grass and one from planting zrayim, from planting seeds. And the first question is going to be from dyes, D-Y-E, from dyeing clothing or dyeing cloths that we see pre-processed requires a greater shear than once it's processed. Not like Rav Nachman's inside. Okay, let's see the questions inside. Do we not make a distinction between that which is already mu'ubin and that which is not yet tanned? Do we not make a distinction between that which is processed and that which is processed yet? We learned in a brisa. Eisvei, frekt Rava, questions Rav Nachman. How might see Samim, Shurian, a person who carries out dyes that are already steeped in the dyes really means the plants, the herbs, the plants that are that used to make the dyes that were already steeped in water. He's chayev if he takes that enough to dye the sample of the weaver. The weaver used to have like a sample, that little piece of cloth. So if he has enough to dye that little sample cloth of the weaver, that's enough for a chayev. View samanim sheimam shein shurin. Whereas when you have samanim, when you have these dyes that are not yet soaking, they're not yet steeped, these plants, herbs of dye, of colors, that are not yet steeped in water, the shear is bigger. What's the shear? We learned in a Mishnah, this is actually a Mishnah later in this. Later in the Masechta, what does Mishnah say? Vila b'sab shenim shurin tran klipei goyim v'klipei minim sotes upua kedei litzpei b'hem beged katan l'fis svacha. If a person he's carrying out a Shabbos klila, he's carrying out the husks of nuts, the pomegranate peels, the safflower, the madder. So the halacha is he has to carry a shear that's enough to dye a small cloth for the top of the woman's hat, which is a bigger shear. We see you need a larger shear for the unprocessed, for the dyes, the herbs that were not steeped yet in water, not soaking and not ready, the dye wasn't created yet. You need a larger shear for them than when you have the dye that was already created. It's a raya, not like Rav Nachman's design. It's a raya that this is a raya that something which is processed is taka mo chashev and therefore requires a smaller shear for chiyuv. It's a good raya. It says Gemara ha'itmar la. We learned about that raya. Now it's a beautiful answer because who was the question? The question was from Rav to Rav Nachman. Look who gives the answer. Ha'itmar la. We learned on that very Mishnah later on in this Masechta. In the round daf tzaddik, Amr Rav Nachman, it's actually Peites. Amr Rav Nachman, Rav Avua, l'fi she'ein adam tepeach lishrei samanam etzbeya bam dugma le'ira. So this is the big say. This answer we're giving here is going to be the answer to all three gemaras, and the answer is very simple. That is in general, when it comes to processed or unprocessed, whatever is chashiv is still considered a chiyuv for carrying a Shabbos. That's going to stay the same. And if the shear of chashiv is the same, then you'll be chayiv for carrying the same amount, processed or unprocessed. When it comes to dyes, when a person already has a dye, so then he'll use that dye for something very small. For example, just a sample of the weaver, he'll use it for the sample of the weaver. But to go and make dye lechatchila, to go be busy and create dye to steep it in the first place, no one's going to steep dye just to make the sample of the weaver. That has to be already something more chashev. For example, like the hat of the Isha to dye the top of the Isha's hat, that's already more chashiv. So the Gemara is saying it's a practical difference. We're not saying that processed is automatically more chashiv than unprocessed. Even if we say that unprocessed could be chashiv, it has to be at least an amount that a person would engage with. A person wouldn't engage with such a small amount, but unprocessed, he wouldn't go and process it, and therefore, that cannot be a shear. Again, this is going to be the answer in all three of the Gemara's questions. So just to get we have to get the cloud clear, and the next two Gemara's will just flow very simply. The idea is, very simple, that when you have something which is chashiv, whether it's processed or not, once it reaches a base level of chashivas that a person will engage with, so let's pick our case. By the hides, the shear is enough for a kameya. Enough leather to make a kameya, that's already chashiv. Whether it's processed or not, even if it's not processed, a person would go and process something this small, and therefore it's chashiv, and therefore it's chayav for carrying on Shabbos that amount. Whereas in other items, it's not the fact that since one's processed and one's not processed, the process is more chashiv, it's a different matter completely. When it's processed, a person may use something that's already processed, even in a smaller amount. A person wouldn't go and process a smaller amount of something like chatchila, it's just not worth his time to process a smaller amount. So therefore, in some cases, the unprocessed will require a bigger shear, only because a person won't even engage with it in the first place, therefore requires a bigger shear, not that it's a lack of chashiv, it's not that a person wouldn't actually use a lesser amount, he just wouldn't process a lesser amount. Okay. Vareh says the Gemara, almost identical question. We are, again, on Ayin Tesef and Aleph. We are right by the wide lines. We're actually two lines into the wide lines. Says the Gemara, Vareh Zoraini, now we're up to the third wide line. Vareh Zoraini Gina. We have the case of planting seeds in the garden. We learned in the Mishnah before one plants the seeds. This is going to be interesting. This is a Mishnah coming up on Daf Tzadik. So Gemara's first going to quote from Mishnah on Daf Tzadik, and then ask from a question from another Mishnah, which seems to be a Stira, on Daf Pei, 10 blot earlier, 10 blot closer to us. So let's see the first Mishnah. Says the Mishnah that before one plants Zareni Gina in the field, grain seeds of the field, garden seeds, Pachas Mekagregris, if he takes out even less than Gregris, he's still going to be Chayiv. But how much? Chamisha. It's got to be at least 5 seeds. Okay, but it could be a smaller amount than the Gregris, but it has to be 5 seeds. Okay, but 5 seeds is five seeds is enough to be Chayiv, but it has to be at least, let's say, at least 5 seeds. It's got to be epi something. Vila buses are in Utan, but once something was already planted, we learned in the Mishnah, there's enough pay. Zeva v'chol hadak. Zeva is fertilizer. Chol hadak is thin sand, fine sand. K'til zabal b'kelech shalkru. If one carries it out, he's chayev if he carried out enough to be mezabal to fertilize a single stalk of cabbage, or k'til zabal b'kelech shalkru. So the Chum say even enough to fertilize a leek. Rabbi Kiva is enough to fertilize a cabbage. The Chum say enough to fertilize a leek. Okay, the point is the Chum shear is even smaller than Rabbi Kiva's. A leek is even smaller than a cabbage. But the point is either Rabban or Rabbi Kiva are talking about fertilizing even one cabbage stalk. Forget about don't picture the cabbage when it's fully developed already, or the leek when it's fully developed. Picture in its infancy stage. And enough to fertilize it is enough to Mechayev, according to Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabban, the question which one it is, but it's enough to Mechayev, even though it's one cabbage stalk and one leek stalk. Before we said, or it's really later, that's the Mishnah Daf Pei. The Mishnah Daf Tzadik said it needs to be at least 5 seeds. Why are we telling me that when it comes to planting seeds, you need 5 seeds, and when it comes to the ready stalks that are already semi-developed, you need to only have 1? The answer to the Chari is, it's a Raya, that something which is processed is more chashiv, even with less of a shear, than something which is unprocessed. So back to our Gemara, in a case where a person is carrying out hide that's processed should require a smaller shear to be chayav on Shabbos than hide that's unprocessed. That is a second question. Rabbi Yisrael Nachman, answer is going to be the same as we had by the first question. It depends if it took root yet. Once that stalk has already taken root, it's already planted, so over there, it is already chashiv, and therefore it's enough even one. One, if it didn't take root yet, then it's not chashiv one. Why not? Not because it's not processed, automatically it's not chashiv. Again, it's a technical issue. A person wouldn't get busy with planting one stalk. So carrying out one seed, which could plant one stalk, is not enough chiv on Shabbos, because no one's going to get busy planting one stalk. If you're not going to be busy planting one stalk, has no chashivas for carrying. You're only going to plant the minimum 5 grains, 5 seeds, and therefore that's the minimum for shir chiv. Says the Gemara, "Fisha ena d'tareach la'itzi nima achas l'zriya." A person won't take out one grain, one stalk for zriya, and therefore that will not be chayiv. It's again a technical difference, and therefore it's not a matter that this process is unprocessed. When this is unprocessed, a person wouldn't engage in such a small amount, and therefore you're not chayiv for carrying that on Shabbos. Vare tit. This is a Zara of actually what we had yesterday in the shir on the Ayin Ches clay. to mekame de legabe before the clay is mixed. Tanya mutar b'risa. Meinucham le Rabbi Shimon, but meitzah sheif kol mishas rabim. Remember, we almost had this identical idea in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "What's the sheif carrying spoiled waters?" We said, "Or vias once chayav for." The b'risa is a little more elaborate. It says, "Water that's meant to be sheif, meant to be poured out." The sheif is vias. We spoke yesterday by the waters of the Mishnah. You could say it's not such clean waters, and therefore it's waters that maybe you'd wash your hands with, or you'd wash a kli with, but you wouldn't drink it. But it's still epis, has some usage, whereas these mayim shayfchim is mamish dirty waters in the Braisa, and still was saying yichai for vias. And we asked, what type of use is it? What are you using this disgusting dirty water for that he's supposed to be pouring it out? And we explained, we said the shears are vias, but we asked, what's the purpose of it? What's useful for? From Rabbi Yirmiyah, legabav mevasatit. It's useful to mix clay. It's useful to be able to knead clay. So, okay. Now that's, so we're saying, what's the shear of water that you chayev for? A person's chayev for carrying enough water to knead clay. How much water is that? Or a vis of water? So it's it's not a huge amount of clay, obviously, but it's a decent amount of clay, enough clay that you'd mix with a vis of water. That is in the making of clay. That's the chayev of carrying the water to make clay on Shabbos. To make clay. Vilu basar de gabe. Tanya. However, once it's ready gabli, once it's ready kneaded, once you already have the clay, what's the shear of carrying clay that one's usher? Much less than the clay that's produced with the reverse of water. How much clay? We had this yesterday. Tit k'day lasa pen pikur. Enough by the furnace of smelting metals. They used to have these little holes to stick these hot sticks inside and to fan the flames and to try to burn whatever's inside in the furnace. They used to have these tiny little holes and they would seal these holes with clay, a very tiny amount of clay. Enough to fit that hole, that's enough to be chayav for carrying on Shabbos. So the chiv of carrying clay on Shabbos is this tiny amount of clay, whereas the chiv of carrying the water to make the clay is a much bigger shear. So that's a raya again, Rav saying against Rav Nachman, that we see the shear of something pre-processing should always be bigger than post-processing. Again, the answer is, we said this, or we actually said this yesterday, this far, it's not that less than this amount of clay before it's processed is inherently not chashiv. This amount of clay is chashiv once it's made, and therefore theoretically it should be chashiv before it's made. The problem is people don't engage in making clay less than a certain amount. Lamaisa, they don't get involved making clay less than a certain amount. And the mere fact that they don't get involved with making the clay less than a certain amount would render that carrying anything less than it takes to make the minimum amount of clay is not going to be chashiv, and therefore one would not be chayv on Shabbos. So we've answered all so far the three questions, the three similar questions that Rava has posed to Rav Nachman, have all been answered the same. The Gemara is going to ask a few more questions. Rav Nachman, Tilabam, and Amid. I believe it's two more questions. Tashema. Tamra Pchir Bar Ami Meshmei De'ula. Shleish Ayresein. So you have three types of hides, meaning there's really three stages in the process of taking the hide and turning it into parchment. Matzah, V'chipa, V'diftera. Those are the three stages. Matzah, Chipa, V'diftera. The Gemara explains. Matzah b'mashmoy. Rabbi Chiya is explaining matzah is k'mashmoy. Delei maliach le'kameach le'afetz. Matzah is the stage where it wasn't yet treated with salt. It wasn't treated with flour, and it wasn't treated yet with the gallnut juice. It wasn't treated with any of the above. Gallnut juice is actually used. I'm not sure if gallnut juice was actually used by all types of parchments, or maybe specifically by Sefer Torah. But either way, the matzah stage means nothing was done. Not salt. Not flour, not gallnuts. But before we even go further, this is a Meiri brings. This is a proof to the idea that when we have matzah Pesach, matzah shemitzvah, we're supposed to use matzah that's made of dafka flour and water. No other ingredients, not even salt. Why? Because our Gemara clearly says, what does matzah mean? Nothing else stuck into it. Could be the reasons are like we know from all the years. The reason is it's supposed to be lechem ayni, poor man's bread, poor ingredients, only flour and water. Or also, it could be because there's a problem of being mevatel the taste. If you put in salt, then perhaps you can be mevatel the taste of the matzah. A person's supposed to taste the taste of matzah, and having salt in there may drown out a little bit the taste of the matzah, which is actually totally side point, but that's what the halacha is. A person, when he's eating the matzah, is not supposed to have any other drink with it, which will ruin the taste. A person has a hard time chewing matzah, the price can bring, even for that person who needs to have some water to take down the sheer matzah, should not dip the matzah in water preferably. Should preferably put the matzah in the mouth first and then drink water to help it go down. But if they need to do that, best is not to have water at all. But if they need to do that, they should then drink water, but not dip the matzah in water because it's altering the taste of the matzah by being dipped in water before it hits his mouth. If it hits his mouth first, at least he gets the taste of the matzah and then he puts in the water. Okay, so the reasons why he can't put salt may still be because of taste or because of lechem ayni, but a source, Miri says, a source of the fact that the matzah has to be plain without any additives could be our Gemara that says clearly, what is matzah? What's the matzah stage? Of course, we're talking about parchment, but the matzah stage of parchment is when no other ingredients have been mixed in. Okay, that's stage number one. Stage number two, says this member of Rabbi Chiya. Stage number two is the kam. Oh, sorry. Before we get to stage number two, the kam kshiri. What's the shear of carrying this matzah type of hide? Tanya of Shmuel bar Yehuda. Can you lotsu by mashkelas? Kedana enough to wrap a small weight in it. Okay, that's the shear of this matzah stage of the hide. The what's the Vakama, what's the size of wrapping a small weight? Amar Abaye, Rivet, a quarter of a what? Of a liter, Rashi explains, that was used in Pumbedisa, a quarter of a liter, that size weight, that's the size if one carries that amount of this diftera, of this matzah hide, this hide that's been completely untouched, that's the amount he's mechayev for. Okay, that's the shear of the masa stage. What's the next stage? Chipa. Once it's chipa, what does that mean? The maliach was salted. However, lekamiach v'lei afetz, salted but not treated with flour or gallnuts yet. That's the next stage. Kamashir, what's the shear for that? Slightly smaller. Kidnan or kilasas kameya. That is the mishnah's case. Our hide. What's the shear of chiyav? Enough to make a kameya. That's the dinner we said in our mishnah. Enough to make a kameya. So we see black and white that the different stages of the hide are requiring different shirim. The hide before you do anything when it's masa stage requires a bigger shear, enough to wrap a small weight. When it's treated a little bit with salt, it needs a smaller shear, enough to make a kameya. Says the Gemara, that's a kameya. Diftera, what's the third stage? Diftera is the maliach, kameya for afetz. Diftera is already the parchment that was salted, treated with flour. You didn't necessarily do the afetz, you didn't do the gallnuts. That's the stage of diftera. The kamashuri. What is the shear of this? Enough to write in a get. The shear of how big it is to be chay for carrying a Shabbos is enough to write in a get. What is that shear? Rashi explains. Enough to write the five things. Number one, Shmai, the name of the husband. Shma, the name of the wife. Edim, I'm calling that one. It could be two. The two Edim. And Zman, the Zman. Those are the five. You can call four categories, really. The names of the husband and wife. Names of the Edim, that's one and two. The Zman is three. And Arei Mutaris L'Chaladam is four. That is the minimum share of a get. And that's all you need for that parchment, the difter, to be chashuv enough to be considered carrying a Shabbos. Agav, total side point, but good to remember. Our get in a standard written in how large? 12 lines. Our get in a standard written in 12 lines. And Taisus right at the get says, a good way to remember, a good memory tool is, what's the gematria of the word get? Get is gimel tes. Gimel and tes is the equivalent of 12. 12 lines. A get is supposed to have in it 12 lines. Okay, but the point is, we see very clearly, Ketani Mias, the Mar says that the Mar elaborates the Shaila. The Kasha on Rav Nachman is very clear. Ketani Mias, Ketelotzeboy, Meshkelis Ketana, Vamra Baye, Rivet Rivet to Mabadisa. We see very clearly that the rawhide requires a bigger shear than the kameya, a bigger shear than the hide that's already partially treated. Rav Nachman was saying that it doesn't make a difference if the hide was tanned at all or not. If you started the process or not, it doesn't matter. Either way, what's the shear? The shear is to make a kameya. Here we see the shear is, before it's treated, the shear is to wrap a small weight, a quarter of a liter of pumpadisa, but you see it's a larger shear than the shear of kameya. Answers the Gemara, Hasan Bibishula. Over there we're talking about matzah. The matzah stage of the hide is a totally different stage. It's still very moist. It's talking about where the parchment is moist. If it's moist, it can't even be tanned yet. In order to tan it, you still have to dry it out. So since right now it's not fit for being tanned, okay, so now it's a different shear. Any hide that's fit to be tanned, even if it wasn't tanned yet, and like we saw earlier, even if he has no intention of tanning it, but since it's fit to be tanned, once it's the shear of a kameya, this piece of hide, and one carries it on Shabbos, he's going to be chayav because he carried a chashav shear. That is Rav Nachman's psak, and we're sticking to it, and we have no question. So thus far, we have no questions. We won't end up having one either, but we have no questions against it. This price that seems to say a shear is a little bigger. It's talking about where it wasn't dry yet. The hide wasn't dry. If it wasn't dry, it's not even fit to be tanned. Since it's not fit to be tanned at all, you need to come on to another shear, namely the shear of a quarter of a pumbedisa weight to wrap that weight. Okay. Last question on this topic, and then we move to the next part of this daf. Vatran, as we looked at the Mishnah in Kalim, Habegish Lesha Shlesha Lemedris. This is a nice chazara for us. This is a nice chazara. We've had this in the Masechta multiple times, but let's quickly go over it again. We know the ideas of Tumas are very straight, the basic ideas of Tumas are that we know there's a concept of Avatumah. There's, of course, the mace itself is Avatumah, but let's start with Avatumas. A person who's Avatumah, if he's either, because a classic case of Avatumah is he could track the Tumah from a mace, but let's not go there. A person's Avatumah because he had an emission from his body, he's a Zav, she's a Zava, right? She's a Yeledes. A woman, someone who's an Avatumah, who has a tumah that came out of their body, the lach is that they are tumah if they sit on something, they are tumah, a lion at the tummy, tumas medris, tumas mishkav meshav. The chiddush of that tumah is as follows. Normally, tumah goes down a madrega. Whoever's the avatumah, however the avatumah came about, tumas sheretz, tumas meis, any tumah, the tumah goes down, tumas zav zava yeledes, the tumma, that when that tumma conveys tumma to something else, if it touches something else, the item that receives the tumma, contracts tumma, becomes one layer lower, one level lower of tumma. So if that was avatumma, the item that contracted tumma, whether it's a person, whether it's kalim, becomes a rishon tumma. When rishon tumma touches something, it becomes a sheni. A sheni can't be humans or kalim. A sheni can only be food and beverage. A shlishi can only be truma. A revi can only be hektish. But the point is, anytime something's contracting tumma for something else, the level, whatever level the first item was, then the second item becomes one tumma, one level lower of tumma. Except one of the exceptions are, there's a few exceptions, there's a chal cherev's exception. One of the exceptions are by tumas medrash, by mishka v'mayshev. If a one of these people that are an avatumma from a tumma that yaitzim agufay, the zav, zava, yeledes, the nida, when they go and sit on a bench, sit on a table, and sit on a chair, sit in a bed, and make it tame, sit in a cloth, that's to be a focus of Agamar, and make it tame, that cloth remains an avatumma. And when another person goes and sits on the same cloth, the person that sits on that cloth will become a rishon l'tumma. You don't say it goes down a madrega, the cloth, to rishon, and the rishon cannot make another person tameh. Rather, it remains an avatumma. So the shaila is, what is the size of a cloth that's considered fit for the medrash, is chashav enough to be susceptible to contract this tumma's medrash to maintain the stage of this level of avatumma? What is the size of this cloth? So we said in the Mishnah, we have this in Kalim, we've quoted this many times, this Masechta, ha-beg shleisha al shleisha medrash. A beged has to be three tefachim by three tefachim in order to be considered a chashav size, a normal size that a person would sit on it as a cloth, and therefore it's mekabel tumma of tumas medrash. Next, hasak. Sak is the goat's ear. Arba larba. The minimum size is four by four because since sak is not as chashav, it's a little harder cloth. It's got to be a little bigger to have a status in order to be chashav enough. That's normal for a person to utilize, and sit on it, and therefore can contract. That's this tumma of tumas medrash. Ha'ar, hide, chamisha chamisha. Hide, that's what we're going to focus on, has to be five tachim by five tachim in order to be chashav enough to contract tumma. Okay, no question yet. Ha'mapetz, shishal shisha. Mapetz is reeds, a mat made of reeds, so that needs to be 6x6 tefachim. It's even less chashav. It needs to be 6x6 tefachim in order to have status to be mekabel tumas. Says the Gemara clearly, bein the medrash, bein the tumas. These tumas, this can, being able to contract tumas, is side tumas medrash, which was clearly what I was focusing on, or even tumas mace. It's the guy being contracted tumas mace. Also, these are the same shurim. Just a bichilik by tumas mace, that will go down a madrega. By tumas medrash, it doesn't go down a madrega. Okay, but the point is, in order to be set up for tumas, has to be these sizes. Okay, so far so good. Here's the question. V'tanyala, we learned in a braisa about this mission of Kalim, ha-beged v'asak v'ya'ar, all these cloths, the beged, the sack, the ar, kishir l'tumma, kach shir l'tzah. Just like the shear, that you need the cloth to be X size, in order to, whatever that size is, in order to be 3x3, 4x4, 5x5, 6x6, in order to be mekabel tumma. That's the shear once chayav carry on Shabbos. We see by ar, what's the shear of being chayav carry on Shabbos? Ar, five tachim by five tachim. That's much bigger than a shear kameya. Five tachim by five tachim is huge. We see the shear is five tachim by five tachim, not the shear, make a kameya. It's a bomb kasha against our whole sugya, really, but certainly on Rav Nachman, but really on the whole sugya. Answers the Gemara, similar answers to what we had before. Hu bekar tuvla. How come I'm skiing over there in Kalim? We're talking about hide that has already been taken out of the realm of being able to be used for parchment purposes. You're not using it to make a kameya, to wrap a kameya. You're not using it to write on it. You're using it for what purposes? For furniture. Look at the Batamashi. Mevashtoi bereis, and they boil it in hot water, miskasha, and they make it hard, leishavala, in order to sit in it, lachasat lufkais, shakirin, pashtidal, to cover like benches or something, umitas or beds, vlasa shulchan. This is hide that's being converted to use strictly for furniture. Once it was done, a processor to make a furniture, it has different guidelines. Our Gemara till now was talking about hide that could be used for wrapping a kameya, for writing a kameya, wrapping a kameya in it is a much smaller shear. That and a chami would require a much smaller shear than what we're saying. This hide is already being designated for furniture, it's already being processed and being cooked in a way that's used for furniture. Once it's being established for furniture, the minimum shear is five tachim, not a question at all on Rav Nachman, on an earlier sugi, because it's no shaykhus, it's a whole different usage, a different usage gets a different shear, and therefore the kasha never even starts. Okay, Adkan, the conversation about the specific nuances about hide being the shear of a kameya, according to Rav Nachman, no matter what, whether it's tanned hide, whether it's untanned hide, whether it's hide you're not even planning to tan, as long as it's fit for tanning, Rav Nachman says the shear is a kameya, and one's chayav for carrying that amount on Shabbos, and we have no question ultimately that sticks on that psak. Everything stems. All the questions that we asked were deflected, that either it's cases that the unprocessed need a bigger share because a person wouldn't process less of a share, or we're talking about hay that's already being designated for a separate use, either it's too wet to be used for this use, or it's already cooked for a different use, and therefore the share is going to be different in those cases, but not a kasha on Rav Nachman's psak, which relates back to our Mishnah. Okay, top of Ayin Tes Amabez, Klaf. This Amun is going to focus on, we're going to focus on the case of the Mishnah of Klaf, where we said the Mishnah, what's the share of Klaf? Let's read the first words. Can they look up of Parsha Ketana? Klaf, we said the share of the Mishnah was enough to write a small Parsha, which is a small Parsha in Tefillin, which is to write the Parsha of Kriyat Shema, let's say, to write the Parsha of Shema, write the Parsha of Shema on a piece of Klaf. If you have a Klaf that big, that's enough for a Chiyav of carrying that Klaf on Shabbos. This whole is going to focus on the Alachas a little bit, the type of material used for writing mezuzah, for writing, again, it relates to Shabbos, carrying Shabbos, but writing mezuzah, writing tefillin, and ultimately at the end of the daf, at the end of the Amud, for writing Sifrei Torah. Okay. Says the Gemara, Vimini, you're telling me the shear that one's chayav for carrying on Shabbos is enough to take out to write on it a small parsha of tefillin, which is just the parsha of Shema alone, but we learned elsewhere, klaf v'duch sustas. Klaf and duch sustas, one carries these items on Shabbos. We'll explain duch sustas in a half a second. K'nei lichtav olav mezuzah. Enough for shear to write a mezuzah. Mezuzah, top Rashi says in it. Rashi says, top line, mezuzah shema v'yim shemaya. Mezuzah is more than, mezuzah has shema and v'yim shemaya, not just shema. Shema v'yim shemaya. But tefillin obviously has more than one parsha of shema. It's four parshas. But the point is, tefillin has four separate parshas. So one of the parshas is shema. Mezuzah has one piece of parchment with on it, which has shema v'yim shemaya. And we're saying the shear of carrying is to have both shema v'yim shemaya, which is a much bigger piece of parchment than just plain shema. It's a steer this price to our Mishnah. Before we get into the Gemara's answer, just let's understand what is duch sustus. We know in our minds what klaf is. Klaf is animal hide that's made into parchment. Duch sustus is very similar. The difference between klaf and duch sustus is as follows. When you take the hide of an animal, you have the hide of the animal, it's thick skin. The whole thing together, if I remember correctly from later in the Amid, if you remember the name, I think it's called gvil. The whole thing together is called, gvil. So if you take this thick hide, and you slice it down the middle, widthwise, if you kind of peel it. So the hide that is outside, closer to the hair, that is called klaf. The hide that's inside, closer to the flesh, that is called duchsustis. Again, the hide closer to the hair, the outside of the animal's body, that's called klaf, as we know it. The hide, the skin that's closer to the flesh, that's called duchsustis. Ironically enough, when you write on these pieces of parchment, these pieces of klaf, when you write on the klaf part, which again, klaf is more towards the outside, you actually write on the part that faces the flesh. Meaning you don't write on the outside that has the hair, where the hair was, you write on the inside that faces the, basically you write on the side of each of these parchments when you peel them that was touching each other. If you peel it, you write on the side which touches each other. So the klaf is on the outside, you're writing on the side which faced the flesh. The duchtusis, which is on the inside, close to the flesh, you actually write on the side that faces the seir. It's not near the seir because you have the whole klaf in between, but it faces the seir. That's all going to be in the Gemara later in the Amid. We don't really need that idea for now, but once we're mentioning the word now and explaining what it means, we might as well say exactly what the din is. It'll come up in about 15 lines later on the Amid. Okay. Perfect the Markasha. We're going to see. Mezuzah and Tefillin, the Gemara is going to say, have different dinim, and we'll see exactly where they overlap and where they have distinctions. So that's exactly going to be the main focus of this whole Amid. Okay. So the Gemara is bothered. You're telling me that the shear of carrying on Shabbos, and our mission was saying the shear is the shear to write a Parsha Ketanah, namely the Parsha of Shema and Tefillin. Yet we see elsewhere in the Bryce, we say it's the shear to write the Parsha of Mezuzah. Mezuzah is Shema and Vayim Shemaya. Answer the Gemara. You know what Mezuzah means? Mezuzah in the Bryce means Tefillin. My Mezuzah? Mezuzah shebet tefillin. Mezuzah doesn't mean the mezuzah as we know it on the side of our doors. Mezuzah means the parchment in the tefillin. It means the parsha in the tefillin, which is the parsha of Shema, without Vayim Shemaya. The karlei tefillin mezuzah. So it's a very nice answer. That only makes sense if the tefillin is called mezuzah. Do we ever refer to the tefillin as mezuzah? Vakarlei tefillin mezuzah. Does the Tana ever call the tefillin mezuzah? Mer says yes. In we do find such a thing. Vatanya. We learned the Rebbeisa. This is a Vatanya is a raya. Vatanya. We learned the Rebbeisa. Ritzuis tefillin and matfillin. This is talking about the din again. A chazar early in the mesachta we had in the daf in teens. We had the idea of that there's Kisvei Kodesh have Tumah. We said the reason why Kisvei Kodesh have Tumah, one would think that it's a lack of Kedusha, making Kisvei Kodesh have Tumah. On the contrary, it's to protect the sanctity. Because they wanted to protect their Trumas, they would put their Trumas next to the Kisvei Kodesh, because Kisvei Kodesh are holy, and Trumas are holy. The mice would go try to nibble on the Chuma, and they'd end up nibbling on the parchment of Kisvei Kodesh as well, and it led to Kisvei Kodesh being destroyed. Chazal were there for Masak and the Kisvei Kodesh are Metame, they give off different levels of Tumah in order that people should stop putting their Chumas together with Kisvei Kodesh. So the Chazal Masak and different Tumas for Kisvei Kodesh. So here's the part that we need. For Italian, we learned Brutuas Tfilin, Imat Tfilin. The Rutuas of the Tfilin, when they're attached to the Tfilin, these are the straps of the Tfilin, when they're attached, Metame Seudayim. They render the person's hand who touches them Tame. The person who touches the Rutuas is Tame the Gabi Chuma. Again, it creates a separation. A person's not going to put his Truma. Obviously, it's Truma Darabanan, but it creates separation. That person will not put his Truma near his tefillin. That's the straps when they're attached to the tefillin. But if that's when the straps of tefillin that are not attached to the tefillin, and the time is the dayim, then not the time they dayim at all. That is the Tadakam, Rav Shimon, Ben Yudim, Rav Shimon, Hanegeber Tzuatar. He says, no, whether the straps are attached or not, one who touches the straps will not become tummy. Touching the straps of tefillin when they're detached, certainly, and even when they're attached, will not make the person tummy. Achia giabik tzitza. Until you touch the tzitza. Tzitza is the bottom, the box of the tefillin. If you touch the leather box of the tefillin, then the person becomes tummy. Reb Zaka Mishmoyim, Reb Zaka said the name of Reb Shimon, a different opinion. Reb Zaka said Reb Shimon's name, slightly different. Tar achia giabim mezuzah atma. One is tar until he touches the mezuzah itself. What does it mean, the mezuzah? We're talking about tefillin. Until he touches the mezuzah of the tefillin, it was a way of saying the parchment of the tefillin. We see clear here in a Mishnah, we see clearly over here in a, in a braisa, we see it clearly, a Tana referring to the parchment of tefillin as mezuzah. So the Gemara's answer is beautiful. The Gemara says, our Mishnah says, what's the shiur of carrying a Shabbos of parchment once chayev enough to write a parsha of tefillin, namely one parsha of Shema Yisrael, right? The parsha of Shema. And a braisa says, what's the chiv of carrying on Shabbos enough to write the shiur of mezuzah? We thought it means mezuzah we put on the wall, which is Shema and Vahim Shemaya. We're answering, no, the mezuzah in that context means the mezuzah of the tefillin, which is again the parsha of Shema. In fact, Gemara not so fast. From the Tani Sefer, says in the Sefer, Klaf, Kedei Lichtav Lov, Parsha Ketana Shabbat Tefillin. It says in the Sefer, what's the shiur of Klaf in order to write on it a small parsha of Tefillin, which is what Shema Yisrael? We says in the Sefer, that very same braisa, the shiur of Klaf to be Chayav Karen Shabbos is enough to write a small parsha of Shema Yisrael. Isn't that very clear? Isn't it clear that when the Reisha says that the mezuzah is the shear for carrying on Shabbos, right? What's the shear? It means real mezuzah. It means Shema Mayim Shemaya, because the Seif itself says, by klaf of tefillin, it's the shear to write just one parsha. So it's a shtark raya that mezuzah meant literal mezuzah, and therefore it's back to Mayim Shemaya with Shema. A stiritar Mishnah says, here's, you have to read the braisa. Klaf and Duchtustis, this starts to answer what you were asking before, Hirsch. Klaf for Duchtustis, Shirim Bekama, if one takes out on Shabbos, parchment, that's Klaf, or Duchtustis, what's the minimum Shirim, respectively, to be Chayav carrying on Shabbos? Duchtustis, Kadesh Shalichtav of Megillah, a mezuzah. Duchtustis has to be the Shir that won't write a mezuzah, which is Shema and Vayim Shemaya. Klaf, Kadesh Shalichtav of a Parsha Ketan, Shabbat Tefillin, whereas Klaf, that's enough of a Shir to write in a small Parsha Tefillin, Shehi Shema Yisrael, which is the Parsha of the parsha of Shema Yisrael, meaning, our Gemara is answering the derech was that what's used for tefillin. And this is again, there's going to be a whole conversation in the next Gemara as well. It's going to follow up the same conversation, continue the same conversation. You have to do two dots. But our Gemara is answering right now that the derech was that tefillin was made from klaf. That's actually going to stick to be the same. Tefillin was written from klaf, and mezuzah was written from dechtustis. At this point, we're understanding that only tefillin is dafka klaf, and tefillin and mezuzah is dafka duchtosis. And therefore, the shear for tefillin, which is with the shear for klaf, which is for tefillin, is the shear of Shema, one parsha, and the shear of duchtosis, which is for mezuzah, which you write on it Shema and Vayim Shemaya, has to be a large enough piece for one to write Shema and Vayim Shemaya. So that is the Mor's ultimate answer, but still not a stira. Our Mishnah was talking about klaf, and therefore the shear is just a parsha of tefillin. The Brice is talking about Tuchtuchlis, and that would have a shear. That would have a shear of Shema Vayim Shemaya. And we have to read the Brice, even though it was a mashmah that way. Simply read the Brice. We're making the distinction between Klaf and between Tuchtuchlis. That Adkan, the first and the interpretation of the Brice, to answer the question, the Mor is going to bring a further discussion about this, which will lead to more questions and actually to a different approach to Tuchtuchlis and to Klaf. Before we get there, the Cheshek Shleimich speaks from his brother, very interesting Shaka Vatari that brings out a couple of ideas that we should know on this topic. He brings from his brother a question who says that there's a machlekes in the Mefarshim, machlekes in the Paiskim, whether you need the hide that's used for tefillin or for mezuzah to be ma'ubad l'shma. Does it have to be tanned and worked out l'shma? Like you have by matzah, the shame mitzvah matzah. Does it have to be the shame mitzvah tefillin when you're making the hide or not? It's a machlekes. It's a machlekes. So he asked, some hold that ma'ubad l'shma is required for tefillin, but it's not required for mezuzah. Meaning for mezuzah, even if it was not tanned with intent, you can still use the parchment for mezuzah. For tefillin, it needs to be tanned with intent. So he says, based on this, Chesh Shlomo says from his brother has the bomb question. Why does the Gemara have to answer and split the Braisa? That Klaf is this year, Tuchlus is this year, even though it wasn't the Mashbrais, the Braisa, we're going to read into the Braisa, that's what it means. Say more simple. Why don't you say that the Tuchlus is nothing to do, sorry, don't make a distinction between Tuchlus and Klaf. Make a distinction whether it was Ma'abed L'Shema or not. Our Mishnah says the minimum shear is the shear enough to write a parsha of Shema. It's talking about a Klaf that was done L'Shema. Since it was Ma'abed L'Shema, it's fit for Tefillin. Since it's fit for Tefillin, the shear is enough to write one parsha of Shema, which is one of the four parshas of Tefillin, and that's enough. A parchment that was not Ma'abed L'Shema, if it wasn't Ma'abed L'Shema, it's only fit for Mezuzah. Since it's only fit for Mezuzah, so therefore, the shear is going to be the shear of Shema and Bayim Shemaya. It's going to be Shema and Bayim Shemaya, and not the shear of Shema alone, because it can't piece of tefillin, therefore you need the share of mezuzah, but Shema Shemaya. Beautiful answer, beautiful chap from the brother of the Cheshek Shlomo. Answers the Cheshek Shlomo's brother himself. He answers his own question, and he says, Shema Keteretz. He says, because if it wasn't made l'shma at all, if a person made the hide, even d'chutchlis, not l'shma, even if it could be used for mezuzah, since it wasn't made l'shma, it's not certainly not destined for mezuzah. It's not planned to be used for mezuzah. And once it's not planned to be used for mezuzah, there's actually a much smaller shear that one's going to be chayev, meaning the reason why we're even bothering with this larger shear of Shema, Shema Vayim Shemaya, is because the assumption is the parchment's going to be used. You're working parchment for what? A yid works on parchment to write Kisvei Kodesh. And therefore we could debate Mezuzah, a little bigger, or Tefillin, a little smaller. But we had in yesterday's daf again, we had earlier in this parak, we had the what? The piece of parchment could be small enough for the tax collector, and Hershey was talking about this before share today, the tax collector would sign his initials with two big letters, and that was enough to have a receipt that the tax was paid. That piece of parchment is tiny. It's smaller than any of the parchments that we're discussing here, mezuzah or tefillin. And the only reason we're not going this is because person normally is not working on his hides in order to get for tax collector. He's working for mezuzah for tefillin. But once you tell me, talking about a case where it wasn't on the Shema, if it wasn't on the Shem tefillin, it wasn't on the Shem mezuzah, granted, even though it's kosher for mezuzah, it's certainly not his intent now to use for mezuzah, and therefore the shear to be chayav on Shabbos, ironically enough, would be much smaller. Won't be chayav on Shabbos, would be much smaller shear. The minimum shear is a shear enough for the tax collector to sign his name. Therefore, says Cheshek Shlomo his brother, therefore that couldn't be a solution. The Gemara didn't offer that solution because that wouldn't fit into any of the shear. That would be a smaller shear bechlal. That is that the Cheshek Shlomo brings from his brother. But he says, my brother asked the question, answered it, and left it as such. But he said, he's opened up to me an idea that I have a question which I'm going to leash for him. Because he says, why don't we say that the sheet we know in this discussion about what the din of lishma is? There are those that say that a mezuzah needs lishma, but the lishma for mezuzah is not lishma for tefillin. So there's a beautiful chap. The sheet that say like this. His brother's answer just was, if it's not lishma, then you're not even focused on tefillin and mezuzah. The shear is going to be smaller than the shear of the tax collector. But there's another machlekes. There's another opinion. There's an opinion that says that tefillin needs ma'abed lishma, mezuzah also needs ibed lishma. Okay, so they both need it to be done the Shema. But if one prepared the hides with intent for mezuzah, that's not considered muchan for tefillin. Because since tefillin is a higher level, so muchan for mezuzah is not muchan for tefillin. So ask the Cheshek Shlomo, and he leaves that as kasha. A bomb idea. Why do they have to tweak the Braisa at all? Answer the Braisa simply. Our Mishnah says the shear of carrying hide is the shear enough to write for tefillin. It's hide that was but it was worked out l'shem tefillin, and the brayza says the shear for any mezuzah is to a chachamaskinan by hide that was worked l'shem mezuzah. If it's only worked l'shem mezuzah, it's not kosher for tefillin. If it's not kosher for tefillin, you can't make him chayav for the smaller shear of tefillin. You have to make him chayav only for the higher shear of mezuzah. Chayav shtaka kasha, and the Cheshek Shlomo leaves the kasha shver. Okay, let's just start with the next gemara. I mean, we'll get to Bama Damid. Let's go to the next gemara. Goes pretty quickly. The gemara now discusses for vayter this idea of d'chutchus versus klaf. Amarav. Rav makes a statement which we're going to spend the rest of the Amud trying to understand clearly. We're going to have one basic halach throughout the Amud and then one little change right at the bottom of the Amud. Rav says, the shear of carrying, well, the statement actually was that d'chutchus is like parchment. What does that mean? Ma'klaf kaisvin ala tefillin. After d'chutchus kaisvin ala tefillin. Just like tefillin could be written on klaf, so too tefillin could be written on d'chutchus. Sustas. Now, that's clearly not like we just said a moment ago, the way we explained the Braisa just before two dots. Now, we know Rav could be Tano Pollock, but we don't really want to jump to that option, the Chatrila. Rav is clearly saying over here that both Klaf and Dechtuchsis is good for Tefillin, seemingly the Braisa we just quoted a moment ago, Klaf is good for Tefillin, and Dechtuchsis is good for Mezuzah. Says the more time we learned in the Mishnah, Klaf today looked like a Parshah Ketan Shepet Tefillin, Shishma Yisrael, make a Diak, let's read the parentheses, Klaf in Dechtuchsis Lai. Klaf is the shear for Shema Yisrael, which is the shear for tefillin. Tosos is not, because the tosos is for mezuzah, not for tefillin. Says the Gemara, no, the mitzvah. This din, this mashmash of the Mishnah, that klaf is for tefillin and the chustis is for mezuzah, is only the chatchila, is only the mitzvah. But really, if one uses the chustis for tefillin, it's also kosher. Now, there's a key point to bring out that typically the dinim of what parchment is used for tefillin and mezuzah is lechem mishma sinai. And Rambam brings this, Rashi brings this in Sanhedrin, Adaf Memches. Rashi explains the halacha mishma sinai are typically ma'akev, just like Dinei Torah. Dinei Torah typically ma'akev. You don't say there's lechatchilan derabbanas. We do find in one place we say lechatchilan b'dievetz. We do find in one place where we say this. We are by kachim. By kachim we say that shina kasav la'akev, that the Torah repeats the din to say it's ma'akev. If the Torah doesn't repeat it, it wouldn't be ma'akev. It would be just lemitzvah. You do lechatchilan, but if you don't do it, it's still okay. If the Torah repeats it, then it's ma'akev. You have to do it. You don't get away with it if you don't do it properly. Elsewhere throughout the Kolatar Kula and outside kachim, the Torah says something once, and you got to do it that way. You don't do it that way. You're not yaitza. The concept of the chatchilan b'dieved, which is another way of saying lemitzvah, it's for a mitzvah, but not necessary, is usually by derabbanans. It's by kachim and by derabbanans. You don't typically find it by deraisas. And that same rule applies typically to halacha mishma sinai. Rambam says this, and Rashi says this in Sanhedrin Daf Memches, that by halacha mishma sinai, we don't say lechatchilan and b'dieved. However, if lechayr the halacha mishma sinai itself, which is our case, says that klaf is lechatchila and the chsustis is b'dieved, but it works. So if it's built into halacha mishma sinai, and you do find a couple of cases outside of kachem in the Torah that there's lechatchila, but then there's also the b'dieved, even on a biblical level. So there's a case of halacha mishma sinai where you find lechatchila and b'dieved even on halacha mishma sinai level. Okay, not a question, it's a statement. Tashma Amar brings another question. Again, Rav saying that both the chsustis, it could also be good for tefillin, just like klaf. It's b'dieved, but could be good. Tashma halacha mishma sinai tefillin al klaf umezuzah the chsustis, that tefillin, it should be made on klaf. Mezuzah should be made on dechsustis. Klaf makam basar. Where is the klaf? We already spoke this out. We know this already. Klaf is we have the makam basar. What does it mean? Klaf makam basar. Exactly opposite of what it sounds like. Klaf is actually closer to the hair, but you write on the klaf the space, the part of the klaf that faced the basar. Whereas dechsustis makam ser. Dechsustis, which is closer to the basar, actually it's further into the body of the animal. You write on the part that faces outside, that faces the hair. Okay, but you see clearly the Bryce saying black and white. Klaf for tefillin. Dechsustis for mezuzah. Period. Answers the Gemara again. The mitzvah. That doesn't mean it's ma'akev. It means the halacha mishma sinai was lechatchil. That's how it should be. But it's not ma'akev. V'atanya shina pasul. We look at the price. If one changes from these rules, then it's pasul. Isn't it clear that it's got to be dafka these rules? No, a mezuzah. It means mezuzah. If one uses a klaf for mezuzah, that's pasul. But if one uses dechsustis for tefillin, that can still be kosher. V'atanya, and therefore Rav still okay. V'atanya shina b'zeh pasul. But we look at the price. If one changes any of these, it's puzzle. That's pretty stark. That side the tefillin, side the mezuzah. If one veers, it's going to be puzzle. Says Mar, no. I divide the mezuzah. Both are talking about mezuzah. What does it mean? Shina b'zeh b'zeh. Hoda kasvino klaf makam seir. Iname dochtuchas makam baser. What it means is we're talking about the mezuzah. By the mezuzah, if one wrote on the klaf in the place of the hair, which is not supposed to, it's supposed to be in the place of the facing the baser. Or if one wrote on the dochtuchas makam baser, he's supposed to be writing in the place facing the klaf. We're saying that if he changes on both of those legabe mezuzah, it's going to be puzzle. But if one used dochtuchas for tefillin, that's still going to be kosher, and that fits. We're still defending Rav's halacha. So Vibais Aim, that's only answer number one. Ibais Aima or answer number two in the Brisa, I can tell you, Shina Bazabazatanahi. You're right, when it says if one changes the tefillin or the mezuzah, in both cases it's gonna be pasul, which is not like Rav, but it's not shver, you know why? Because there's a machlekes hanam about this, and Rav will slide with the Tana that disagrees with that Brisa. The Gemara explains the time limit of the Brisa, Shina Bazabazat pasul, if one changes by the mezuzah and he writes the mezuzah on klaf, where he changes on the tefillin and he writes the tefillin instead of klaf on dechsustis, both are pasul. That's gonna be not like Rav. That'll be the author of this prior Brisa. That's gonna be this Tana Kam is the same Shita. Not like Rav, that it's puzzle. However, Rav Acha Machshim Mishim Rav Acha Bechanina, Rav Amila Mishim Rav Yaakov Bechanina. Shaila, if who Rav Acha was saying the name of either Rav Bechanina or Rav Yaakov Bechanina, but he's Machshir. He said that doesn't make a difference if you write it in the wrong spot. So therefore, Rav can clearly go with that shita that says if one writes tefillin on tuchsustis, then it's still kasher if it's done that way. And therefore, Rav has a tana that he can fall back on. That is answer. Ibay Samath, answer number two. We have two answers on this last brisa to make Rav Shtim. Rav Papa Amar Papa says a whole nother answer for Rav's psak. Rav Damar Ketana Beim Nasha. Rav who says that the tefillin is like the dechtuchtus is like klaf. And meaning, and we're explaining to mean that both could be used for tefillin, is going like Tana Beim Nasha. Tana Beim Nasha, they told him the special Nasha, Kasva al Haniyar val Matlas Psula. If one wrote it, we didn't say what it is yet. If one wrote it, so it could be either tefillin, Taira, we haven't had yet, or mezuzah. If one wrote it on paper, on matlis, or on a cloth, Talach is puzzle, psula, ala klaf, ala gvil, ala duchsus, duchsus is kshera. If you wrote it on parchment, if you wrote on gvil, or duchsus is, then it's kosher. Kasvamai, what are we talking about over here? Nile mezuzah, I've talked about mezuzah, klaf mi kasvinan. Our whole question was, could tefillin be written only on klaf, or could it be written even on duchsus? But mezuzah certainly, as far as we understand, is only written on duchsus, not on klaf. So we can't be talking about mezuzah, because why? The Bryce is allowing that if it's on klaf, it's kosher, and mezuzah is not kosher that way. Mezuzah klaf mikas fina, we write mezuzah klaf, elav tefillin. It must be the Bryce is talking about tefillin. And the psak of the Bryce was, if one writes tefillin on klaf, on duchsus, or gvil, we'll get to gvil in a second, is going to be kosher. So the chayra says, Rav Papa, this Rav Menashe is exactly like Rav that says tefillin could be good, sai klaf, sai duchsus, both these parchments are good for tefillin. Ask the Gemara, but you left out a key word. Ultameich tefillin agvil mikasvinon. The Bryce of they discuss gvil. Again, gvil is the thick skin that you haven't separated at all. Gvil is the combination, you haven't separated the duchsus from the klaf, you haven't separated, that's your gvil. And we're saying that that's kosher. If we're talking about tefillin, even if you're going to tell me it could be written on duchsus, like Rav saying, you can't write tefillin on gvil, says the Gemara, Ella, so your braisa, Rav Menashe's din, is no shaykh as a tefillin, and therefore Rav Papa's answer is no good. Why? Because Elikita Neiba Sefer Torah, that remember, that braisa was told by Sefer Torah, and therefore this braisa can't be an answer for Rav. Rav Papa's answer was deflected, this braisa told by Sefer Torah, and Sefer Torah is kosher on Sai Klaf, Sai Gvil, Sai Duchsostis. Okay, Lema Seyle, Mer makes one more attempt, and this takes us to the Bab al-Amen, one more attempt to being a raya to Rav. Kayetzabai, it says in the braisa, Kayetzabai, similar to what we just learned, the braisa is talking about a case that tefillin that were worn on the arm, but talking about changing tefillin from being worn on the arm to tefillin that are worn on the head, but tefillin that are worn on the head that can't be switched to the tefillin that worn on the arm, meaning the tefillin shereish is considered more lofty than tefillin sheyad, so you can upgrade tefillin sheyad into tefillin shereish, you can change it up to make it work for tefillin shereish and use it, but you can't downgrade tefillin shereish to tefillin sheyad. That is the first part of the braisa which Agamar doesn't quote. Kayyitzah, where the braisa continues, tefillin shebalu, tefillin that got worn out, sefetar shebalu, sefetar that got worn out, ain oisim a mezuzah. Similarly, you can't go down a madrega and make for them a mezuzah. If you say married the mekdusha to chamura kedusha kala, because you can't go down from mekdusha chamura down to a kedusha kala. You can't go from a hard kedusha to low kedusha. Rashi explains what would mean taking a sefer Torah. Sefer Torah got worn out. You can't fix it because it got worn out. But you can cut out a parsha from the Torah of mezuzah and use it for the parsha of mezuzah. You can't do that because you can't downgrade from sefer Torah to a mezuzah. Now make a diak. Time they married. The reason why you can't use it for sefer Torah from mezuzah is because imaridin you can't go down a madrega. Hamaridin eisen. But if you were able to go down a madrega, you would be able to use it. But what about the fact that it's written on different types of parchments? Ksiva amai. What was this written? What was the Sefer Torah written on? Lav dechsiva tuchsustis. Aren't we talking about a case where the Sefer Torah or the tefillin were written on tuchsustis, and you're able to take it and use it? We're saying you would think you could use it for mezuzah. Kamashman, you can't. That's emaridin. But without that, you'd be able to use it. We see clearly because the reason the Gemara assumes tuchsustis is because that's what mezuzah is normally written on. So we see that Sefer Torah that was nechidish. The tefillin could be written on tuchsustis. It's a riot to Rav. Says the Gemara, light. We're talking about a Sefer Torah or tefillin that are written on klaf. In fact, Gemara, mezuzah, klaf, because finan. But you back to the question. Mezuzah we took for granted. Hoshai was about the tefillin, which is written on klaf, could also be written on duchsustas. But mezuzah we took for granted could only be written on duchsustas, not on klaf. Here we seem to be saying that even though it's written on klaf, the only reason you cannot use the Sefer Torah or the tefillin shabbalah is because it's you can't go down a madrega. But the fact that it's written on klaf is not a reason why you can't use it for mezuzah. Why not? With mezuzah, a klaf, because finan, you write mezuzah on klaf. The Gemara says, in the Gemara is throwing a full curveball now. Yes, tefillin could be written on klaf. Filatanya, we learned in a braisa, kasval a klaf on yerma matlas. If one wrote a mezuzah on a parchment, on a paper, on a matlas cloth, it's pasul. That's the Tanakh Mishita. So Tanakh Mishita says klaf is pasul for mezuzah. However, Rabbi Shimon Lazar, Rameh, kasval klaf, Rameh used to write tefillin, I'm sorry, mezuzah on klaf on purpose. You know why? Meshav Shtameres, klaf lasts. Since klaf lasts, he would purposely, obviously, he held that klaf is okay for mezuzah, not matlas, and not nier, not paper, but klaf is a kosher as well, just like tuchsustis, and he purposely used klaf, not tuchsustis, because that was long lasting, it lasted longer. We see clearly of a sheet of a tana, Rav Meir says that mezuzah could be used with tuchsustis. So we deflected our most recent raya to Rav, but we introduced a new idea that tefillin could also be written on not just tuchsustis, could also be written on klaf. Says the Gemara, Hashtas Lachi, once you've introduced this new Chiddush, so now go back to Rav. Rav's memory was that Duchtusis is like klaf. And we interpret it to mean that just like tefillin could be written on klaf, it should be written on klaf, it could be written on Duchtusis. Now we can just flip it. Rav's memory just was equating klaf and Duchtusis. Now they're telling me that mezuzah could also use klaf, not just tchusus, that could be what Rav was saying. Hashlas lachim, we now have a new answer in Rav. The Rav Nami, loitem tchusus are a klaf, don't say tchusus like klaf, meaning they can write for tvilin, elaim a klaf are a tchusus. Say the other way, klaf is like tchusus, that what? Ma tchusus, kaisal bezuzah, just like tchusus is the classic idea of the parchment that's used for the paper, the hide that's used for mezuzah, av klaf kaisal mezuzah, so to klaf, one could use it to write mezuzah. Okay, a little bit of a side amud with regard to Kisvei Kodesh, klaf and mezuzah. We're gonna get back to back to the dinim of carrying out diyah and the like in tomorrow's daf. But one quick halacha for the day based on today's daf very quickly. So our Gemara said that one cannot take a sefer Torah shabbalah, sefer Torah worn out, and use the pieces even if they fit for mezuzah, they fit for writing a mezuzah. You can't cut out and use mezuzah because it's downgrading the chashivas. Ask the Shechanor Paskins like this Gemara. Ask a shayla came from a rav to the Chassam Sefer. Kshmak a shayla. This is all talking about a sefer Torah that was kasher, that became bala, got worn out. What about a sefer Torah that was written in the first place and had many mistakes? So it never was a completely usable sefer Torah. It wasn't kosher. It had mistakes in it. Could one now, and they don't want to, they said I'm not going to go fix it. Could they go now and cut, then instead of fixing it, could they cut out at least the sections for the mezuzah and use it, or for tefillin, and use it in a mezuzah tefillin? Is it just an issue when it was a sefer Torah that was kosher, that's, and now it's meridin, you're being married in madrega by using it for a mezuzah, but a sefer Torah that was never kosher, maybe it's not a problem, or no, same problem would be in this case as well. Says Chacham Sefer, not only is it the same problem, it's worse. Chiddush, why? Because the sefer Torah shabbalah, once it got worn out, there's no way to fix it. You can't fix the parts that have holes in it, that the parts that got worn out, you can't fix the sefer Torah, so even though once, for many years, was a sefer Torah, it's now puzzle forever. Whereas this sefer Torah, even though granted it never was fully written perfectly, it has all the components. All you got to do is fix the mistakes, and it's a full-fledged kosher sefer Torah. It still has the power to remain and be a kosher sefer Torah in the future. And therefore, cutting out a section to downgrade the mezuzah would be even worse in this case than the case of sefer Torah shabbalah. That is the Pesach Chacham Sefer. He says further, don't make a mistake with the Trubas Rivash, who says that a sefer Torah that has pasuls in it is only like a chumash, which sounds like it's a low madrega. He said that was only saying the guy didn't have selling. You're not allowed to sell a sefer Torah except to learn Torah or except to marry a isha. Otherwise, you're not allowed to sell a sefer Torah. Chumash, you're allowed to sell. So the din of selling it, he was saying, says the Chacham Sefer, the guy selling it, if it wasn't perfect, had mistakes throughout, then you're still allowed to sell it also. But the guy din kedusha of downgrading it to mezuzah, that you certainly cannot do. On the contrary, this can be made into a full fledged kosher sefer Torah, and therefore one cannot downgrade it to mezuzah. Further on this topic, it's very relevant. They even a stronger madrega in the Chacham Sefer. The Maral says a sefer Torah with mistakes is fully kosher. You can learn from it. A sefer Torah mistakes, you can learn from that sefer Torah. You're supposed to fix it, but mild for it to be perfect. But even if it's not perfect, one is allowed to learn from sefer Torah, and it's not a problem. As a matter of fact, place can bring Tshuva Sitz Eliezer brings that there are people that try that are very makba not to make an aliyah in sefer Torah unless they know exactly who wrote it, how it's written, if it's perfect, if it was checked perfectly. He says it's a chumrah that you don't need to, because even if there are mistakes chalila, it's not a problem. One's kosher, one's yetz the brachos, and one's yetz laning. It should be checked at some point by a Talmud Chacham, by a Sefer, but to have a video check or a computer check, or to have it, you know, guaranteed that there's no mistakes, is not ma'akif, because even if there's a mistake, it's still a kosher Sefer Torah. According to this, for sure, Sefer Torah with mistakes still called Sefer Torah. For sure, one will not be able to cut out from that Sefer Torah and use it for a mezuzah. That would be the Halacha L'Maaseh, even more chamer than the Chacham Sefer.